I love the message that it brings because it's so very true. It does not matter what your situation is in here this morning. You can come to Him just the way you are. Amen. You know, statistically speaking, if I could just share something with you here, Jesus Christ has never rejected a sinner that's come to Him by faith. He's not turned one single one away. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm so thankful that that's the truth here this morning. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you will, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Looking forward to preaching this morning and this evening. I couldn't help but feel as I was studying a little bit that this morning's message feels more like a Sunday night message. And tonight's message feels more like a Sunday morning message. And we'll be back in Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. We'll be looking at those in faith. And we're going to be back there with Abraham. And we're going to be looking at what happened at Mount Moriah and how that by faith he was obedient to take his only begotten son up there on that mountain. And we're going to look at what happened there and the faith that was displayed. And I hope and I pray that it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. But this morning we're in Ephesians chapter number 4. Have an interesting thought here for the church this morning, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? For he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want you to pay attention very closely to the next few verses that we'll read. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And verse number 16 says this, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. And God, we thank You for salvation. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. And Lord, we thank You so much for just allowing us to be part of this local New Testament church, God. And Lord, I pray that as the Scriptures preach this morning, Lord, that You just get me out of the way. Help me to say the things that You want said. Lord, let Your Spirit have full sway. And Lord, I pray that You would just empty me of anything that might hinder me from being filled with Your Spirit. And God, I pray that You help me to preach today with power, with love, and with a sound mind. And Lord, might it challenge and edify our hearts and help us to give You glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this is a very interesting thought. I oftentimes, when I think of the church, the church is my life. The church is my life. I thank the Lord for calling me here to this church in March of last year, or March of this year, and everything we've allowed for the Lord to, everything we've seen the Lord do, the people saved, the folks baptized, the families edified and growing up together and all these wonderful things happening and taking place. I thank God for it. And before I was here, I was at Taze Valley and I worked there for 3 years in that church, that place, that people, that was my life. And I love the work of God. I love the New Testament church. And I believe with everything in my heart that God has called me to this place that I'm in today. And so I love the New Testament in regards to the Scriptures that talk about the church because I take it very, very seriously. I take it very, very seriously. When we baptize somebody, I take that seriously. When we take part in communion, the Lord's Supper, I take that very seriously. Those are things that God ordained for His church to take part in. There's lots of things that the church can do and lots of wonderful things, but they're not necessarily ordinances of the church. I believe that the local New Testament church is the body of Christ on this present earth. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to teach in this scripture. He's exhorting the church at Ephesus in unity and charity to work together serving the Lord. Just a few weeks ago, we looked at how that Paul would write to Timothy, and he says, "Now the end of the commandment is this, charity." He gives him that. He says, the end of the commandment. He says, I'm leaving you here to pastor this church, to preach this doctrine, to evangelize these people for one reason, for charity. You know, the whole reason that you and I are here this morning is so that we can honor and glorify God with our lives. God has you here for a reason, because He wants to use you for His glory. God has you in this church because He has a purpose for you. And I love the scripture that we read this morning, and I love that 16th verse in particular and the things that Paul says about the church in this comparison to the body, because truly that is who we are, the body of Christ. That's who the church is. Amen. And God foreordained it that way before the foundations of the world, that God would establish His church. And in doing so, He's not left us without instruction. He's not left us without guidance. He's given us the Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God that indwells our hearts, and He's given us the Scriptures to live by and to heed to so that we might glorify Him with our lives. And in this 16th verse, I think it's very interesting that Paul makes this comparison, and he says a few things, and I'd like to point those out to you here for just a few moments here this morning. I want to preach on this thought, a joint effort. A joint effort. See, the Bible says in verse number 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I can take this particular verse, and the Lord has allowed me to look into it and see different things that spoke to my heart and different things that worked on my heart and different things that He's convicted me about. And I want to share those with you here this morning. The first thing that I see is that this is a providential body. A providential body. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, at the beginning of the verse it says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. The whole body fitly joined together. The human body is an unbelievable thing. I'm talking about with modern day technological advancements and medical imaging and biomedical engineering and all these things, it's allowed for us to kind of peer into this design that God had created from dirt. You know that there are ophthalmologists and there are optometrists who continue to study the eye, and there are volumes, volumes, probably you could fill a library with all the books that are just written about the human eye and all the sciences over history that have changed and all the things that people have said, one thing about this and one thing about that, and they believe that there's over millions of nerve endings just in your eyes alone. It's an amazing and fascinating thing, just that one little part of your body, just the eyeball. And they believe that we've only just yet scratched the surface of how complex it is. The same thing goes with the brain. The same thing goes with other parts of your body that you wouldn't even think of, that you wouldn't even imagine. But what I'm trying to say is this. God designed all that with purpose for a reason. And I believe that here this morning. I believe that God is the Creator God and that He did design all these things intelligently of His own goodwill for a purpose. And the body of Christ itself is designed with a purpose. When Paul says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, when he says that, what I believe he's talking about is the sovereignty of God in all things regarding the church. You look what Paul would say. Paul would say, and He hath given Him dominion over all things, over the church, Christ Himself, that He might have the preeminence in all things. We, as the church, belong to Christ, and Christ is the head of that church. The pastor is not the head of the church. Amen. Listen to me, I'm just a member. I'm just a part of this thing. I'm just a pinky toe or a finger or whatever I might be, but I'm just a part of this thing. Christ is the head of His church. And Christ has established this church and fitly joined it together the way that He sees fit. You know, God's sovereign in all things, I believe that. I might have mentioned this before, but It's so illustrious and beautiful that I oftentimes think about it. Charles Spurgeon wrote one day in his devotion, and he said he looked across the room in the morning as the morning sunbeams would break through the blinds, and he said, "Every particle of dust that dances through those beams of light that break in through those blinds," he said, "God has it there where He wants it for a reason." You know, not one drop of rain that has ever fallen has ever missed its target. It's exactly where God wanted it, when God wanted it, and He foreordained for it to happen because He is in control of all things. Amen. And if He's in much more, if He's in control of all those things, if He feeds the sparrows and He feeds the birds and He sends the raindrops and He causes the dust particles to align where they would, how much more should the church have things in order the way that God wants them to be done? Paul's talking about this body, and he says, "For whom the whole body fitly joined together," God has lined up things. God has put things in place where He wants them. And so oftentimes that's why we find so many churches in the mess that they're in today, is because they say, "Well, we don't want to do it like that. We don't want to live by that book. We don't want to do things like that. We just want to compromise. We want to change things. We would much rather do it this way. It's much easier. It's much more convenient. It's much more fun. It's much more entertaining." And they take all these things and they take what God has designed so beautifully, what Jesus Christ Himself died on the cross to pay for, that body, the church, the bride of Christ, and they twist it and they mangle it and they distort it and they say, "We're going to do with it as we please." God is a God of order, and He is not the author of confusion. We look at this body, we see a providential body, that God has provided all these things, that God has foreordained all these things, and God always gifts accordingly. Listen to me now. If you're in here and you're born again and you're saved by the grace of God, God has gifted you spiritually. God has gifted you spiritually. And we could go into, we could do this a little bit for a while. I'm not going to take much time, but listen to me. There's plenty of different gifts in the New Testament that God gives to His New Testament Christians. Now, I'm not talking about the sign gifts that He gave to the early church. I'm talking about the gifts that we have presently today. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, things like that. Maybe God has put it on your heart. I know some of the people sitting in here in this sanctuary this morning are a great gospel witness. You're great at presenting the gospel to people. I know some of you are great teachers. I know some of you are great with the children. I know that there are different people in this sanctuary here this morning who have different jobs that help this church to work together synergistically. And it's no coincidence that God has put the people here that He's put here for a reason. Amen. God has set in place everything regarding His church according to His will. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God has gifted you accordingly so that you can help this church to grow, so that you can edify to the growing up of itself in love, as Paul would say. But it's important to realize that if you're saved, God has a place for you here. God has a reason for you. God has given you a gift. It's up to you to discipline yourself to say, "God, what is my gift? What is it you could use me to do? What is it you've called me to do?" And to apply yourself so that you might help this church to grow. That's God's plan. That's always been His plan for His church. It's a providential body. Not only is it a providential body, but it's a proper body. So what do you mean by that? It says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." Listen to me now. Growing up, my thing was sports. Played football my whole life. I wrestled, ran track, did all this and that. And I was a boy, so I was always getting into stuff, running around the woods, playing, doing all kinds of stuff. And I've had my fair share of bumps and bruises. And I'll tell you something about bumps and bruises. You get a bump or a bruise on your arm, it hurts, doesn't it? And if you get it on your side, it hurts. You get it on your leg, you get it on your shin, it hurts, doesn't it? But I tell you where it really, really hurts is when you get it in one of those joints. Why does it hurt so bad? Because you cannot evade moving those joints. It doesn't matter if it's the little tiny digit on the very end of your finger. If that's a joint right there and you bump that thing, or you bruise that thing, or you hurt that thing, you move it just barely, you're going to feel it through your whole body. You hurt your knee, man, it makes it so hard to walk. It makes it so hard to get up. It makes everything more difficult. And that pain goes throughout your entire body. And so the members of the body of Christ, one of us might be hurting. One of us might be bumped. One of us might be bruised. One of us might be sore, but I tell you where it really hurts the body of Christ is when you bruise those joints, what connects those two members. And if you haven't got what I'm saying by now, hear me out. When you choose not to fix something or an issue or a problem between you and another member of the body of Christ, you are damaging this church. Amen. You are hurting this church. You are making this church worse off. When there is something that stands between you and another member and you choose not to acknowledge that and you choose not to fix that, that breaks the heart of God and it only hurts the body of Christ. Amen. Listen to me. Those joint pains, they're not fun, are they? I've broken my arms and my wrists and I've sprained my ankles and everything. And listen to me, it's going to knock you down for a while. But you got to take care of that thing the right way. You got to leave that thing where it's supposed to be, where that joint can heal correctly. Amen. Amen. God can take care of those situations.
Amen.
If you're at odds with a brother or sister in the church, God can take care of those things and God can heal those things. And the church will be so much better off once they're healed. Amen? You know, one thing that works this way often is jealousy. That's one thing that works that way often. And I want to read you a passage of Scripture here. I want to read you something. Paul, this is not the only time in the New Testament that he will make this analogy of the body of Christ and the physical body. He says this in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is therefore that not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But God hath set the members in every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. And we are all made one member, and if we were all made of one member, where were the body? But now of many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, and nor I need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, and hath given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And there which be, that there be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. And whether the members suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular." Think about that now. Too many people in the church get upset, get hurt, say, that's my job, that's what I wanted to do. Well, preacher asked them to do this and he didn't ask me to do that. Or why would preacher ask me to do something like this? He knows I don't like doing this. He knows I don't like being a part of this. It's that body not wanting to act right. It's that body not wanting to be a part of it. And if we're not careful, that foot can look at that hand and say, "Oh, I'm not going to be part of this because I'm not doing what they're doing." I got to thinking about this particular analogy that he gives, and he talks about the hand and the eye. And I thought to myself, it just triggered something in my brain. I thought about hand-eye coordination. We talk about hand-eye coordination. We talk about motor skills. A lot of times you talk about it when you see with children. They say, "Man, he's got great hand-eye coordination. He can hit that baseball every time. I mean, it's going from here to here, and he knows how to do it just right." You know what the body of Christ needs is good hand-eye coordination.
Good.
Think back. I want y'all, some of y'all, have a little flashback here. Some of you might get PTSD, but think about VBS this summer. And think about all the people that it took to work in that thing. And think about how God orchestrated it all so perfectly that we had this person working here, and this person working here, and this person working here, and this person working here. Everybody except the guy that was running games did a good job, I think, at VBS. But I tell you, it's that compatibility. It's that coordination. It's that working together, everybody being in their place, doing their job, that made that thing so smooth. And what happened? We had three kids get saved.
Amen.
We had three kids believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, get saved. You ask them today, friend, they'll still tell you they're saved. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's the whole reason that we're here this morning, is so that stuff like that can happen. Amen.
Amen.
And not only is this a providential body that we see, but it needs to be a proper body. And it is a productive body. The Bible says, but speaking, or verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by every joint which supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And I like that Paul said of every part. Because one of the greatest lies that the devil is going to try and peddle to you is that you don't matter.
Yeah, right.
You say, well, if I hit the road, it's not really going to matter. It's not going to affect the church much. They'll get off without a hitch. It'll work just fine without me. That's what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to think, well, their job's so important. My job's not very important. My job's nothing when you look at their job. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. What did Paul say right there to the Corinthians? He said God had bestowed more honor upon those parts that are looked upon as less comely. The smaller, the weaker, the more feeble parts, the smaller jobs, those are the ones that I believe really pleases God.
Amen.
You know, the church might not ever see every floor you sweep, every piece of trash you pick up, every rock you brush with your foot off the sidewalk back into the parking lot. The church might not ever see that. You might not ever get a pat on the back for that. But listen to me, friend. God sees that.
Amen.
And God keeps an account of that. And God keeps a record of that. And you better believe that God is pleased with the small things that we do. Every work of God that I've ever been to, every great church that had a great pastor and a man of God in the pulpit, he's been held up by a faithful membership of people working behind the scenes that nobody ever sees, that nobody ever knows about. Listen to me, friend. If we're going to be productive, if we're going to glorify God with our lives, we've got to work together. It takes everybody. I don't know a whole awful lot about car engines or anything like that. That's just not my thing. I never was taught. I never learned anything a whole much about it. But I do know this. In the past, when my vehicles have had problems and somebody has told me what to go to the parts store and go get, I walk in there and I'm surprised when I get a box about this big. Little tiny little box like that. And I hear something clinking around there. I said, well, surely this isn't the thing that's making my car spit out smoke and it won't even run because it's missing this little piece right here. And I say, yeah, that's what it is. It takes every little part.
Amen.
It takes every little piece. And when one little piece is out of place, when one little part is missing where it's not where it needs to be, the whole thing runs slower. It doesn't run as smooth. It's not going to get along as well. Friend, if you want to see revival in this church, get serious with God and purpose in your heart. Say, God, I want to be the person you've called me to be in this church. I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. My friend, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour His blessings out on this place. You better believe it. He compares it to a body, a productive body. It needs to take care of one another. The members need to work together in these things. I always hear people talk about, I got a buddy, one of my best friends, he's a pastor. He's got a bad back. It's because his whole life he's lifted the wrong way. And anytime he gets to lifting stuff, he always wants to lift the wrong way. They always teach you got to get your arms around it, so you got to have pretty decent strong arms, and you got to get your back straight and stuff. But so many people, they just want to pick up with their back. They say, lift with your legs. I always hear people say that. Lift with your legs. They say, lift with your legs. See, when just one part is doing all the work, that's too much strain. That's too much pain, and what happens? It gets injured. It gets hurt. It gets crippled. It gets defeated. But when all those parts are working together, the way that God said for them to, the way that Paul was expressing to the church, he said, listen, it takes everybody.
Amen.
That's when stuff gets done. That's when you see a productive body for Christ. And last but not least, I'll finish with this thought here. We've seen it is a providential body, it's a proper body, it's a productive body, and last but not least, we want it to be a powerful body.
Amen.
Powerful body. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I don't want to have a weak, cold, dead, anemic church.
Yeah. Amen.
I wouldn't want to go to a little cold, dead church, and I wouldn't want for you to either.
Amen.
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 I want a church that's strong. I want a church that's doing something for the work of God. Look what Paul says as he finishes up this 16th verse. He says this right here. According to the effectual working, the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You say, what's going to make the church better? Itself, the members, strengthening one another. Now, I didn't learn a whole lot in high school. I'll just be completely honest. I was backslid. I was rotten. I wasn't any good to be around when I was a high schooler. But one of my favorite classes was sports medicine. I took a sports medicine class, and when you study sports medicine, you learn about something called kinesiology. And basically, it's just a fancy word for movement. And it's the science and the study behind how your body works and how your body moves and how those movements transition into helping your body grow and nourish and exercise itself. And when you listen, when you study that kinesiology, when you study all that stuff, what you learn is that your muscle groups grow synergistically. You say, what do you mean by that? That means you can go to a gym or whatever and find you a bench press, and you can bench press every single day. But if you're not working out the rest of the parts of your body, your arms are not going to grow. That's what that means. It means that every part has to work together synergistically, doing what it's supposed to be doing if you want the body as a whole to strengthen. And that's the same exact way the church is. That's the same exact way it is. We strengthen one another. We help one another. We lift each other up in prayer. We edify one another in love. We help each other and encourage each other, and we're there for each other. That's the reason that God established this church, so that He could get glory out of the people that He saved, that have a relationship with Him, that we might gather together and do these things for Him and for Him alone. And we are here for each other to help one another to lead lives that are glorifying to God.
Amen.
You want a powerful church. You want a strong church. You got to love one another. You got to help one another. You got to serve alongside one another. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more times. It'll break out on you. One person gets on fire for God, wants to serve God, wants to volunteer, stands up, says, I'll do this, I'll do this. Another person will see that and say, well, look, it looks like they're having fun. It looks like they're getting blessed. It looks like, hey, I want to get in on this. That's how it happens. That's how it works. And before you know it, you have a church full of people who are wanting to serve God and wanting to knock on doors and wanting to run buses and wanting to reach people and wanting to go to the nursing homes and wanting to go and find people and bring them in and tell them about Jesus. That's how it works. We're here to help one another. That body needs to be strong. It needs to be strong. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If you're here and you're saved and you're a part of this church, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a reason for you. God has you here this morning for a reason. He has a place for you to serve in the church. He has gifts that He's given you so that you can honor and glorify Him. I pray that we'd yield ourselves to God. Say, God, whatever it is, whatever you want me to do, whatever, whenever. Like the prophet Isaiah, the Lord said, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. You know what God's looking for this morning? He's looking for somebody to say, here am I. Send me. Whatever it is, whatever you want, Lord, we're His. We belong to Him. Mm-hmm. Paul said, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, folks are coming to the altar. I wonder this morning, maybe you're in here and, man, life is heavy on you right now. Maybe it's work, maybe it's family, maybe it's illnesses, who knows what it is. Maybe it's just wearing you down. And what it's doing is it's distracting you from the church. It's distracting you from the things of God. It's trying to steal you away from those things. Listen to me, friend. I have been there. I've been there. I know what that's like. I pray in these moments God gives us strength, that God will help us to realize that we're called according to His purpose and for His good pleasure. And because He loves us, He saved us by His grace. And we ought to do our very best to be a part of this body, to work together to give Him the glory He deserves. If you're in here this morning and that's you, I invite you to come to the altar. If you're in here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God, you don't know for certain that if you died, heaven would be your home. You don't have to leave that way. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God can save you. God can change you. God can give you a new life. That's the first step. You don't clean up everything on the outside and then come to God. God comes to you. He saves you. If you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll take care of all those things. If you're not saved this morning, you're not certain whether you go to heaven or hell if you died today, I invite you to come to the altar.